Okay, are you taking your resentment into your relationship? Then it'll affect your sexual relationship. Okay, so that we got. Thank you, Dainey. Personal and sex. Okay, good woman. Okay, what's your part in it? Okay, what are you doing? Trying to win his approval? Okay, so we know you're controlling. Okay. No, we're not going to go there. We're going to say you're trying to control him by giving him money. I think that's more honest. What does anybody else think?
Maybe that would fall under self-seeking. You want something from him, so you give him money. Because you think that's going to give us money.
No, because maybe you won't feel if I give him money.
Okay. Okay, so let's do that. What's the four?
Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and pride.
Selfish, I got them written over there. Selfish,
dishonest, self-seeking, and pride.
Okay, the controlling would be because you're frightened. Okay, that's the way I would look at it. I need to control when I'm in fear. Okay? Okay, the other one is, are you dishonest because you're not willing to look at what's wrong with him? No, dishonest. What else? Well, I can come under controlling, but it's also selfish too. It's certainly very prideful as well, and prideful usually is selfishness. Okay. We got them. Oh, we do. Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and I'm sure that's some of that too. Self-seeking. You want him to be better. Right. Oh yeah, we always feel that way. Okay, when we do an inventory, that's the amends. So there we are, step 8, right here. Step 6, right here. These are the character defects. 7, one of the things that's real clear for me is that I don't have the power to just, you know, I really believe that God would come down and go woo, woo, woo and remove my character defects. I think he would do it in a heartbeat. I just don't think he works that way. So I have to ask. On 6, I have to become willing to have them removed. And on 7, I have to ask. And God removes character defects. And I am responsible for the action. So now we've got 8. This is good stuff, Marcia. This is, thank you. Thank you for being willing to make yourself vulnerable. So now, if it were me, and this was my inventory, I would be making an amends to him about, I am so sorry. I've tried to control your life and not allow you to make your own mistakes. And today, I'm willing to make, you know, to allow you to make your own mistakes. And if that's where you, you know, and for those mistakes to take you wherever they have to take you. And my guess is that's going to be a huge surrender. And I had to do that with my oldest son because, for one thing, of him trying to kill himself. I could not stop him from doing that. And it was only until I stopped trying to stop him that he stopped. Anybody have anything to add to that? I did. Didn't we put frightened? The control we had said was frightened. Yeah, we put frightened up. I'm sorry, I didn't write it down. I think we said it. I'm not sure.
We did.
Yeah, fear is, control is fear. At least that's been my understanding in the program of alcoholics. If I'm trying to control it, it's because I'm afraid of it. Okay. We started, do you think we covered that one? Mm-hmm. And see, that's the bet. What is the biggest miracle of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is one alcoholic sharing with another alcoholic about what they did in a situation like this. And the heartbreak. Thanks so much. Amazing stuff happens when okay, anybody else? Or if did I scare everybody off? Okay, go for it. Your next lady.
No, I was going to talk about something else.
Okay, go for it.
What I have learned is, this is personal experience, and this is what I share with the women that I sponsor, is that after doing quite a few inventories and just, you know, piling up one day after the time, I don't think that I walk around with a lot of resentments. That's been relieved. I've been relieved of that. But there are a lot of other things. You touched on one of them this morning, jealousy. Mm-hmm. Another one is disappointments. That's the big deal, disappointments in my life today. Mm-hmm. And I have found that I can take these things in my life and inventory them just like a resentment. And what that does is it frees me from that because those things also separate me. And so if I have a disappointment, whether it's, you know, whether it's one of my children, whether it's with my mate, whether it's with service work that I do, because, you know, other people in AA, they just, you know, they don't appreciate AA like they should.
They don't have the passion.
Right. How can they just take and never get back? You know, and that's a disappointment, mm-hmm. you know, that I see. And I just wanted to add that because usually there's always something going on in our life mm-hmm. where we'd be dead. And so to say that I don't have a resentment doesn't mean that there's not something going on that I can't. And that's getting to that dark side you mm-hmm. talked about this morning.
Good. We'll take one of those, too. Yeah. Yes.
Gary.
Your brother. Okay, we're going to brother now. Okay? Why are you angry? Having an affair. What else? Is that it? What does that affect? Okay, it's affecting your self-esteem, your security. It probably doesn't feel very safe. Does this affect your sexual and personal relationships? You're taking this into your other to your other relationships? Does it affect your ambition? Okay. Is it keeping you from working and such as that? Absolutely, pride. I think pride leads. I think pride's involved in everything. Okay, let's see what your part is in it.
Yeah.
most of it's dishonest. Yeah. So you're becoming dishonest around this relationship. You're obviously self-seeking because you're wanting somebody's approval because you're not being honest. I can tell you're frightened. Now, I can see that. And what does that all add up to? These are all your feelings. Now see, these are all your character defects because one of the things on this list here that's happening is that you are desperately trying to control his actions and take responsibility for a problem that's not yours. And when that talks about that, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about that being playing God. We're the director and the orchestrator of everything. This is his behavior. Has nothing to do with you. And the only thing is, because of his behavior, you're acting out all of these things. And they have nothing to do with you. Are you having the affair? No. He's having the affair. It's kind of exactly what we just talked about with Marcia. Allowing him to do whatever he needs to do and go wherever he needs to go on his own actions. And for you to be able to make amends to him to say how sorry you are that you stand in the way of his growth for covering for his actions. And that truly, we truly need to make amends for those things. Because what happens is I stand in the way of somebody else's growth by covering for them and not letting them experience their own consequences for their own actions. We are all sitting in this room because of consequences of our own actions. And had we had to experience those consequences sooner than we experienced them, we'd all probably been here sooner. But what did we all have in our lives that kept us out there? Is somebody just like what we're talking about in these particular resentments who were willing to do all these things for us? Let go. It's a tough job. Sure. No, you don't lie. You just don't lie. You just don't go to her. If she asks you, you tell her you need to talk to Gary about that. It is not our business to spread it. It's just our business to stop it. To stop telling the lie. If you need to know that information, you need to take that up with Gary. And then if he does the lying, that's none of your business. You go tell your sister-in-law about this and you have another amends to make. Mm-hmm. Oh, she knows. Well, then that's all her stuff. Do you see how all this is each individual person's stuff and you're all burdened down by all the stuff you're carrying that's not even your business? Yeah. It's not even your business. Al-Anon. Because it's not your business. And see, the book talks about it in that we're people who blow through other people's lives. I mean, what business is it yours to be covering and taking? It's like you're probably dancing around balancing all these wheels so nobody will find out and nobody will get sad and unhappy. People's sadness and unhappiness Pain is the touchstone of all spiritual progress. How dare I deny a person to grow by not allowing them to have their pain? What business of mine is that?
Now, is she to verbally go to him and make amends? I mean, can't she just stop enabling him and let it take its own?
But one of the things that I think that works really well is just to verbally say it. I am so glad that somebody told me that I could just say, you know, I'm really sorry for standing in the way of your growth. I need to move. I'm really sorry. And I think it, for me personally, that's what I need to do. I think anytime you're doing this, whoever the sponsor is you're working with, you need to deal with that sponsor. I'm just saying, that would be what I need to do for me. That's what I would need to do. And what I did with this, when I said we didn't get to step, we're just going through the whole steps with each thing. Okay. Go ahead, Marcia. Did you have your hand up again?
No.
In other words, it's like it's not pointing a finger. It's not saying yada, 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 yada. It's saying, you know, I'm really sorry that I'm participating in your sickness. And I'm really sorry. And I would be very sorry for that.
But I had a program, by golly, he needed to have one too, and I was always in his face. And it finally came to a point where I had to go to him, and I made my amends for everything about getting in his way, and he knew there was a solution. But what really cleared me from all this was I said, when you do something or you say something, I'm not going to say anything back. But when I don't say anything back, I don't want you to think I really approve of it. It was like the mama in me was okay with that. You know, it's because I felt like as a mother I should tell him when he's doing something wrong. And it kind of freed me from having to say something. I'd rather be right, you know, I'd rather be happy than right. And it just kind of freed me. When he goes off on these tangents and he calls me, I don't feel like I have to get in his face anymore because I've told him I wasn't going to. And that really helped me in dealing with him. Because he's, you know, 28 years old now and he's still out there.
That's that thing when we do this work, I feel like we get to be free regardless of what the other person is doing. They may still be doing the same thing that caused the resentment in the first place, but what happens is I'm free of keeping to refeel it all the time. It's a resentment. If it bugs you, it's a resentment. Huh? Okay. Well, that's probably a good idea. Okay. But she'll know who she is anyway. Okay, we'll call her. Okay, let's call her Jane Doe. Okay, Jane D. Okay, why does she bug you?
Because she won't call me. She, no matter what, I can't get her to work any more stress than up to 3.
Like, don't tell anybody I sponsor you. I don't like your program. What's that effect? What's your? Oh no, that's on tape. Okay. What's your? What does that affect?
Well,
It's definitely got you by the short hairs on the pride end.
You know what pride is? What other people think of me.
Yeah.
I know.
It's got your self-esteem. I mean, my gosh, look how hard you work, and this baby will not mind.
Right. I think my personal relations with him, too, because...
Probably gets into... Are you married? Okay, does it get into your life with your boyfriend? You sit and talk, that, little yaggity yaggity yak. So you take it to bed with you, and the guy's like, give it up.
Yeah. I want to fire, really.
Oh, wait.
I feel like I'm in a pre-fire. If she doesn't call, she won't really anyway.
Yeah, you don't ever have to fire anybody. They just drift away.
Right.
Yeah. How about your security? It's not doing anything to your pocketbook, is it?
Oh, no.
Okay, but it's probably...
I already know that part about
it. Yep, true. There you go. Danny always brings me up. Yeah, she always gets it cleared right up. Okay, and it's certainly affecting your ambition, because what are people going to think of you as a sponsor? Okay. What's your part?
I think I'm being dishonest with her. But I did have a conversation once with her and told her that if she did not feel comfortable with me as a sponsor, that she was free to get another one, that I would not have any more feelings with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so...
Okay, this is what I was going to say. You know, when I can't let someone go, it's not about them, it's about me. And I'm expecting an unhealthy person to act healthy. And hopefully, if I'm the sponsor, I'm the healthier of the two. That's not always true, but at the moment. But, you know, this is... You know, maybe we should do something different. If I can help you, I'll be happy to help you find someone else. And that way, we both can leave and stay friends, hopefully. Because I never want to shut myself off from the possibility of being able to help, if the opportunity's there.
I think that's my fear.
She had that conversation.
Well, but she said she put it in. Yeah, but she didn't say it like that. She said, you know, if you want another sponsor, it's okay with me. Other words, you left it up to her. No responsibility was taken by her. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're frightened to do, you know, you're frightened. See, that's the whole thing. There's not a relationship anyway. If she's not calling, if she's not working steps, she's not being sponsored anyway. So, in essence, there's no sponsorship anyway. Nothing is going on, okay? So, the relationship has already been ended. What I feel like you may be doing is something that I like to talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that sounds like you're working harder on her sobriety than she is.
Right. Well, I was going to say that she doesn't have self-seeking that's happening there, because she's probably thinking of herself, what more could I do for this?
Right.
That's very good. That's another one, self-seeking. This is, you know what, everybody, I'll catch you as soon as do you have something to say on this one?
You have something?
Ha ha ha!
I want everybody to go see God today, and that if they need any help, it's right over here in the corner. She's going to solve everybody's problems today. We're gonna be able to find the God with skin on it today. Take that in the humor in which it was delivered, please. I know that's kind of cold. But all of us have felt that way. All of us. And probably the hardest thing is I have a woman right now that has 7.5 years of sobriety. And she's really, absolutely in the worst self-pity. She's active, but her anger is so, it permeates a room. She walks in and you feel this anger. You feel it. And I have told her what I think needs to be done. Now, the hardest thing is for me to let go and let her do it or not do it. And what everybody's saying, well, but if she doesn't do it, she's going to get drunk. And I said, that's very possible. But all I can do is make the suggestion. I cannot beat somebody into submission. I cannot do that. And I am no longer willing to hurt people by trying to do things for them that is none of my business to do. Because I have no idea what this lady's experience needs to be. I have given the instruction. I have laid out. She's already been through the steps, but we did it again. I said, this is what I need to do. Her answer to me was, well, what does that mean? I just didn't do a good 4-step the first time? No. But, you know, people who get in that always have an answer. They always have an answer. They've always got a reason why they're not going to the meeting. Does she always have a reason? Absolutely. They always have a reason. And what I need to do is I need to just say, this is the work that I believe you need to do. If you do not do this work, you're setting yourself up for some real heartache. I'm here to help you do it. The bottom line is if they don't do it, it's not my deal. I need to do what the big book says. If I'm working with somebody and they're not willing to work, how many people are standing out here who may be needing my help, willing to work, and all my energy's over here, and I'm drained? And I can tell you, this kept me awake nights. I was so concerned about this woman. So when I laugh about that, I know you really are too. I know how concerned you are for her. I know how concerned you are. You're very, very, very frightened. And mostly because you're as powerless over alcohol, whether it's in your body or somebody else's. We are powerless. Powerless. But that doesn't change the fact that we're human beings, we're alcoholics, and we're apt to play God at any given moment. It's our nature. I just did it. And I just got through telling you not to do it all morning. And I turned around and did it. So that's how quickly I forget.
So should I go and make like sort of a mantra for the end of time? Or
just like what she said. It's like, make it clean. I don't believe this is working for either of us. And maybe what I'm doing for you is holding you back.
Right.
And I just want you to know that if you, you know, you may need to find somebody else, and I'll help you do that. If you have somebody in mind, and if you're afraid, I'll help you. And with the person that you have that doesn't go to meetings, I probably would call from time to time, but I know I'm powerless over whether they drink or not. I always do that. I call people from time to time. Hi! It's like, I'm sure they're going, oh, God, it's her. Here she is again. Let me be in my misery without this. Okay, Shirley, what do you have to say?
You said it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm. So I have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been there, too. That's why I think it's so fun. Me, the baby God. Oh.
You want to put a
cause it. I can't.
I didn't.
I can't control it. I can't. I didn't cause it. I can't control it. I can't cure it. I didn't cause it. Is it change and I can't change it?
Change. Okay, that was
I can't remember. Okay, anybody else got? Oh, yay! We're getting into it! Okay. Do you want us to solve the resentment without doing the inventory? Is that it?
I've been working on it, and I think I've probably worked it through.
You want us to try it?
If you want to, but mine is my children, and I don't know how to apply the serenity prayer about what I can change and what I can't change, and reconcile that to what I feel my role is as their mother about, you know, guiding.
How old are these children?
Well, the one that I'm having the problem with is 18. She's a senior high school.
Mm-hmm. So she's still under your control?
Well, no, she's not. The problem, she moved out.
She's out of your control. It's it now becomes none of your business. Now it's get on your knees every day and pray. Well, absolutely. I would think it's the wrong thing to do, too. Now I think the only thing that you can do is just be there should she ever come. I mean, she's more than likely, unless she's extremely prideful, is going to come home with her tail between her legs. And what I would feel like is what you need not to do is to be, on the I told you so. Just be supportive. Call her. Be mom. It's kind of like somebody who goes out and drinks again, and sometimes the pride, the ego just won't release to let them back, and just to make it a safe place for them to come back, and it's not an I told you thing. I do that a lot. People that go out, I'll just call them from time to time. Hi, I will never mention the program. Never. Anybody else have an idea, have a suggestion on that? Okay.
But, you know, sometimes when we talk to our children about things that they're getting ready to do, decisions they've made, that we can see it may be poor judgment or something. It's not that we voice, for me it wasn't that I was voicing my opinion, it was the attitude that I took. It was the tone of voice that I would take with them. It was the guilt that I might try to tell them. It was making them feel lesser than. You know, like, well, you don't know what you're doing. You know, here I am, the super mom. I know what's going to happen to you. You need to pay attention to me. And I had a way of demeaning my children verbally because I thought that was going to get them to do and see my way. And so for the way that I feel, no. Maybe I don't owe amends for the way that I feel, but the way I came across to them, I might owe amends for that.
The way, a lot of things, because we can say, I totally agree with you, Dani, because we can say things, you know, you can say it to me, but what kind of, it was just like me talking about when all this stuff was going on with Dave, and I was saying, oh, it's just fine, it was the infliction I had in my voice that made you, you know, I wanted you to feel sorry for me because of what was happening, because it's always how we say it. Yes, ma'am.
My son, I asked my son to leave, and he was 17, he was almost 18, and he and my daughter were just, they were going crazy, and we'd had this for years, and I told Jason that he could not do what he was doing in my house, and he left. Since then, the daughter went to boarding school like that, and Jason moved out of the house and got his own apartment. Since then, though, so many revelations have come to me, and I have gone to him and told him that, I mean, this kid doesn't know anything about life, not one thing. He's never worked. He doesn't know how to work. And he's been always given whatever he wants. And I told him, I just ruined you. I gave you every single thing you want. You never had to do a thing for yourself. And so he didn't have a clue about how to go to work. And he's really struggling. He's really struggling. But I was able to go to him and tell him that, you know, he has to learn how to do this stuff. He's a grown man. He's 19 now. And it's up to him. He has to learn how to do this. And that was really, really, really difficult. I had a real hard time with all of that.
And I understand that because I have a using son. And it was like, you know, whether you use drugs or drink, it's none of my business. But you don't use drugs and drink in my house. Whether you do it, it's your deal. But you don't do it in my house. So you may have just said, you know, I'm really sorry for the way I said it. Maybe that's what you need to do, just like what Danny said. And, you know, I'm here. Just always know I'm here. I'm your mom. I'll always be your mom. Always be your mom.
My youngest son, well, he's 20 now, but he was living with me, you know, most part of my sobriety. And giving me problems. I knew he was drinking and drugging and all of that. And I found what I had to keep doing and be real extra strong in my program and bring it into my house. Because I also did the same thing. In order for you to stay here, you have got to be working or in school, and I don't want you coming. Don't come home if you're going to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Go somewhere else. I don't want you in here drunk. And he started respecting those things because he didn't have any choice until he moved out. And what I see is the things that I kept saying over and over, and you think your child's not even hearing, they have a tendency to catch it maybe a year later, you know, and they bring it back to you. They'll say exactly what I've been saying, and it's like they heard it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They might have heard it from somebody else, but they're just hearing it for the first time. So don't be discouraged, because I think, you know, as long as you work in your program and bring it big time into your home, they get it. They get it. He got it whether he likes it or not.
That's right. And the other thing that I think we also have to have a real honesty about is that these kids have grown up with us. We are not great examples of how to live your life. I mean, we are perfect examples how to go out and screw up your life. And we're here trying to tell these kids what they should do, not screw up theirs.
Right.
You know, there's something wrong with this picture. And that's what, you know, don't think they don't see that. They're really smart. Anybody else on a resentment?
Okay. You next, Nancy.
I'm Nancy, too.
Oh, you're Nancy.
It's against my husband.
Oh, the best. Wilbus, but this is going to be a general guy here, okay? This is going to be the guy right there. He's going to be, this is our generalization here, the husband. And why are you resentful?
Oh, a bunch of different things. He had an affair on me, lied about it.
Woo! Okay, had an affair. Okay, what else?
Moved her in and I moved me out.
Oh, moved her in.
Then he
Please tell me this is not a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Please tell me this is somebody who's out there involved in their disease.
He hasn't picked up yet.
You going to meetings?
Me?
Is he?
Every now and then he'll pop up at one, and I get the news of everything that goes on in his life.
I'm just kidding. I'm just like...
I mean, he's this far. Uh-huh. Because the girl that he had an affair with, she has a restraining order against him also.
Okay, I think we got enough on this old boy. I think it definitely encompasses everything.
Yeah.
Now, what is your part in all this besides being blatantly stupid? Certainly you were dishonest. How were you dishonest? You just turned a blank, you just turned a deaf ear to all the stuff he did. Just as if it didn't happen. Totally lied to yourself. It's kind of like a step two. This time, it'll be different.
He's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a good guy. He's made a mistake.
No, I never did tell myself he was changed. I always told myself he is capable of changing.
So you were self-seeking. He'd change and be a good guy.
Like he was when we got married.
Yeah. Okay. You're probably very frightened if he's stalking you and you have a do you have a restraining order? Okay. Selfish. You want him, you obviously want this guy.
No.
Not anymore? Okay. I put it down anyway, because it's still bugging you.
Well, no, I just want, you know, him out of my life. Mm-hmm. And people keep coming up and telling me stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to hear about it.
Good.
And but they still do it. And, guess what he's up to now, you know? I don't want to hear it. I just want him out of my life 100%. And I know he is still passing my house in the middle of the night. I can hear his car.
Change me.
No, I've got him banned from my home group.
I'm talking about with these other people. Mm-hmm. If they don't stop.
Well, one of...
No, not yet.
Are you in the process?
Not me.
Oh, okay, so you're in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is kind of one of these things that, I mean, that I look at and say just about the only thing you can do in a situation like this at this time is just pray for the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Because he was...
We got a good one?
I was so angry toward myself for believing and trusting him and thinking that this might work.
Well, that's dishonest. That's the whole thing. You're lying to yourself.
Being angry at yourself is
not
true.
No.
That's what I call dishonesty kind of delusion. Mm-hmm. The lies I tell myself and believe them.
Yeah, that this time...
And then I try to convince you.
Mm-hmm. Just that this time it'll be different. Mm-hmm. Tough stuff. But see, that's kind of one of those things. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to change him. There's nothing you're going to be able to make him different. And that's when, you know, the power of prayer begins. The power of prayer. And I truly, truly believe that if you pray for another person's well-being and happiness, somehow or another, I don't know, but you get happy.
Well, I not worked on my bitterness last year mm-hmm. towards both of them. Mm-hmm. I still won't speak to her. And she knows better than to speak to me. She's also in the program. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like another resentment. But that one's amendable. Well, very amendable.
Well, that one is just nobody, no female in the program trusts her around me.
But it's amendable for you. It's got all these aspects. And you could, you know, to me, the amends is I'm really very sorry I blamed you for his behavior.
No, I'm blaming her for her behavior.
But what happens is that you're blaming them both for their behavior. That's true. But what happens is that you have taken on what they do, and now you've ostracized her. Do you talk about her?
Not really.
Okay. Well, if you're not talking about her, most of the time I have to say, I gossip about people when things like that happens, and usually I have to gossip about, I'm really sorry I gossiped about you. You know, it really hurt, you know, it hurts what, you know, I don't say it hurts, but it does hurt what they do to us. But the thing about it is, it's not my business to go out there and do what I call a character assassination to other people.
No, I have not gone and spread rumors about her.
Okay, well then she just needs to be prayed. Hopefully, you will be freer if you can start to have a relationship with her. Does anybody have anything to say on that? I feel like you would be freer if you can begin to forgive her, because forgiveness is divine, and you will feel better. Even if she's, I mean, you know, she.
In forgiving, do I ever have to talk to her?
No, you just forgive her. But you can say hello and be cordial and be, and you know, just like she's just anybody. Just like.
Well, before she ever got involved with my husband, she never spoke a word to me, and I didn't even know who she was. I mean, there wasn't a friendship before.
You don't have to have a friendship. And if you may not come into a situation, the way you put it, though, I misunderstood, is that you see her a lot and you don't speak to her. So that was what I assumed, which was wrong.
We have a meeting that I go to that she shows up at. She normally walks in late and then leaves early.
Well, then maybe you don't have an opportunity. But the way you were putting, the way you said it the first time, what I thought was, is here's this woman, and you keep stirring up your anger by deliberately not speaking to her. And what that does is that just creates more resentment in you.
No, I just don't want to have anything to do with her.
That's okay. This one is going to take some time, but I bet this comes around. And I bet it works out really good.
The other woman obviously had a bad experience too, if she has a restraining order out on him also. Mm-hmm. So you're almost like partners in crime.
It's like going to her and say, sweetheart, I hurt too. Let's I understand how you feel.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
There you are.
Well, I did think about subpoenaing her to the court for the divorce.
But that would be, you know, like, I have some compassion for you. You know, he screwed me over, too. I understand how you feel.
The common denominator in all
of the hurt. Of the hurt.
One point that I'd like to make is someone that, the reason why I think praying for somebody else works is because when somebody does something that we just find it's just like that we can't understand it, or we just feel like it's unforgivable, if we take the action and do the forgiving, then that frees us to be forgivable for our wrongs.
I agree. Praying for somebody is amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff. And it's hard. It is not easy, even though you're in a room by yourself with nobody seeing you. It really does free you up.
I was just going to make a comment. When you had said that you'd make the amends about the gossip when they don't know, you don't say anything.
Exactly. Cause more harm, yes. And that's true. Sometimes you just don't get to make amends to make yourself better. You just have to sit on it. And that the book says that.
One thing I found, you mentioned it earlier, that everything that you think is bad when it happens in your life, you see the reason. And I was in a really bad marriage for 31 years, and I didn't have the guts to leave. And along came a girlfriend. And I mean, I hated her. But now, you know, since I have some space, I see that that was God doing for me what I could not do for myself. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You may be blessing. You may be thanking this woman. You may be thanking her soon.
I just wanted to touch on that gossip thing because, like Shonda said, I would never consider going to someone and making amends for gossip if they didn't know. But I find that I owe amends to the person that I gossip to, because that because I may have said something that has influenced them. And so I've caused them harm by doing that. And I would hope that I wouldn't do that.
One of the things also that I find out about gossip also, because a lot of times people don't know, but 9 times out of 10, it always gets back. And that we've talked about them. So that's the tough part. So I think almost both of them, you know, both of them has to.
I split up with my husband a little over 3 years ago. And at first I was really, really angry. I honestly believe he's one of those that will never get this program. And he's sick. And today, past the anger, but only through a lot of prayers and praying for him, it did miracles for me. It just, you know, I was angry. He was living his life doing what he needed to do, and it was only bothering, it was affecting me. And praying for him, today he's in Tennessee. So, you know, he's not even there to call me or come around or even run into him if he decides to go to a meeting. Not that it would bother me, but it really hurt that we had to, you know, to split to begin with, and then the anger that came after, you know, and the praying for me and talking to people, my sponsor or close friends, was the best thing for me to get it out so I could get on with my life.
And that's another thing. When we go through hurtful situations, one of the things is that we're in pain and we need, I mean, you know, it's just, I can remember when I work with people who've had these problems, I just think, oh, if they talk about this one more minute, I think I'll scream. But you know, they have to. You have to talk about it for as long as you need to talk about it. And I hope if you're in situations like that, that you will find people who are willing to be very loving and tolerant, that they can hear you for just as long as you need to be heard, because that's the only way. And pretty soon, it just doesn't need to be talked about anymore. But it needs to be talked about for as long as it needs to be talked about. But it needs to be talked about with the right people. I think it's very, very important who you talk about it with. Me too. I guess why I totally identify. Just talking about that at lunch. That was one of the things that we were standing in the lunch line discussing. And I do, personally, I don't want to know anymore. And I think what happens is, I don't know how long you're sober, but I think that for a long time, it's like, I loved it. It was just like, I got off on gossip. I loved to hear it. I wanted to hear as much as I could hear. I wanted to know who was sleeping with who. I wanted to know who was doing what. I loved it. And then there reached a time when it started to feel icky. I don't like this anymore. It doesn't feel right. And even if I didn't contribute to it, we were talking about, Stan the Lion Daney and I were talking about it. If I stand there and listen, I am a participant. I am a participant in the gossip. And now, when somebody starts that, I don't be rude. I mean, it's their business. It's their soul. They need to deal with their stuff. I just excuse myself. And I say, oh, I'm going to go over here and talk to somebody. Or if they, you know, or just get up. Most of the time, people are so involved in their stuff, they don't even miss you, you know, to just get up and leave. But it's very difficult. Now, if you're trapped in a car it might be kind of difficult. You might have to say, you know, could y'all talk about this later? I mean, it's just, you know, I'm really not into this today. That's all right. That's all right. You know, it's, you probably, you know, that's all right. Let, you know, again, we don't need to worry about what other people think. What does that pride think? You know, I'm just always worrying what other people think of me. It's like always what I try to remember that I think is very important is that my business is to keep my soul intact. I mean, I answer to a higher power. And I need to do what I know is okay for that higher power. And if people think I've had it said to me, you're just Miss Goody Two Shoes. Well, thanks for sharing.
We know her. You tell us enough.
Okay.
I've got something, and I, you know.
What, is it a resentment?
Yeah.
Okay, let me come to you after Nancy. Okay, I thought maybe if you were going to comment on that. Sure.
I remember when I was about 9 months sober, I found this good, juicy piece of gossip, and I went to my sponsor, and I wanted to tell her, and she says, I don't want to hear it. And I kept going, but you got to hear it. And finally she says, if it's past your nose, it ain't none of your business. And I wanted to hit her.
Boy, you got a good sponsor.
I hated her. She knows it, though, because I love her today. But that, I mean, and I use that even today. If it's past your nose, it ain't none of your business. And I mean, it really put me in my place. I didn't like it. And, you know, because I really still wanted to tell her what I wanted to. And today, you know, I can't remember what I wanted to tell her. It was not that important.
There you go. Every time somebody starts to tell me gossip, I'm so sorry. I've got to put that in my brain because it's a perfect cutoff card, and I never remember to say it. And I think that's a perfect thing. Why are you telling me this? And usually, you know, the reason they're telling you this is because they want to. It's like, first of all, I guess it's we kind of get high on it, but sometimes it's to really. It's very vindictive. It's to hurt the other person. Ex-sponsor? Listen, you got some real good sponsorship people in here, so we're going to have a lot of comments on this. Okay? Sponsor. It's really ex, right? Okay. Ex. Why are you angry? I'm glad you're going to do this, because this has been going on since I met you in Biloxi. Okay? She doesn't return phone calls. We know that one.
Well, you know, what happened is she was responsible to me with the one that was able to get me through the steps, or you know how they say.
the third, fourth, and fifth step that I ever did in my sobriety, I did with her. And the earlier ones, I was never able to do a sixth step because, you know, I was missing something. But, you know, with that one, I did the whole deal, you know, took a whole day. God love her. She gave me a day of her life. And I was just overwhelmed with that. It's like this person spent a whole day with me so that I could get better. It was just, you know, I had 2 years of sobriety and all that. Anyway, she sponsored me for a long time, and then I did something she didn't like, I guess. And I was involved with this man, and it was a really sick relationship. And her husband was sponsoring him, and, you know, they were both telling us, y'all are too sick, don't do this, you know. But, of course, we did it anyway, you know. And anyway, but she said, I don't need to be your sponsor anymore. I'm too close of a friend with you. I can't sponsor you because I'm your friend and you don't listen to me. And I was just like, well, don't do that to me. You know, what am I going to do? Yada, yada, yada. But I didn't really have a choice. So I said, okay. So we, like, stayed friends, and I tried to find another sponsor. And, in fact, used her sponsor temporarily. She never would sponsor me. She said, I will temporarily sponsor you. So time passes, months pass, and all of a sudden her sponsor says one day, all right, I'm glad you got your sponsor back. Go talk to her. And off we went. And it was like, and I was happy because I got what I wanted, which was to have her as my sponsor to begin with. You know what I mean? Well, then time passed, and she just stopped returning my phone call. She'd say, okay, you know, whatever, I'll call you. You know, my parents were in town. They came to the Jubilee with me one year. She had met my parents before. We had had Easter dinner together, all this stuff. And she's like, I'm going to have you over for dinner. So now she's inviting me and my family over for dinner and never calling back. You know? And
so she's avoiding. So she's not, she doesn't call. She's avoiding you. Okay, so obviously it's affecting all these areas, your pride, everything. It's obviously, everything is, okay, now, let's find out what your part is in it. Are you being dishonest in any way about your behavior in this? I mean, what is your expectation? Have you continued to call her? Do you still want her to be your sponsor? Sometimes that's very true.
I want her to be my sponsor, I have her back, and I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I was being dumb.
So do you feel like you manipulated that situation to get her back?
I can't say I really manipulated it, but I certainly was really happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's assume there's some manipulation in there. So, obviously, in any route, whether you manipulated it, there's a whole lot of dishonesty going on regardless, because we don't know what's going on. Second, it's obviously that you're frightened, because you certainly would feel a lot safer if you had this lady. Self-seeking, it'll take care of what's going on with you. And the other thing, the one that I'm looking at the strongest is the selfishness. And the thing about it is I don't know what the situation for I know more about it right now than I've ever known. But the thing about it is that if this relationship, if it were me, and that's all I can do, is if this relationship were me, I would assume the responsibility of sitting down with this lady and saying, I really love you. I really want you in my life. If I've done anything to harm you in any way, I will do anything to make it right. Just like the book says, please tell me what I can do to make this situation right. And if this situation, and who knows, she may have as much hurt about this as you, but I don't know when it's all over whether you'll still want her to be your sponsor or not. But the thing about it is I feel like since you're in this much pain, take the initiative and you take the responsibility and the accountability to put this out and say those things and see where the chips fall. But mostly what will happen is you'll be clean with you, because you will have said, if I've hurt you in any way, obviously something's gone on, please tell me. That's what the book says. When you don't know, when the book says you don't know, what you've done is to go to that person and say, if I've hurt you in any way, what can I do to make this right? And that's the instruction in the book. In step 9. Miss Big Book here. Is that what it says?
That's what it says. Davey says that's what it says.
The reason we read that in our, that's part of the readings that we do for step 9, for how to make an amends. And that's what you do when you don't, a lot of us do, people shun us and avoid us and all the things, and we don't understand why, because we've done some horrific thing in a blackout. That's more what it's talking about. But this situation was sober, it's, you still don't know what you did. You still don't know what the act was that caused the problem. So, try it. I'd like to hear if it works. At least we went through the steps on it. You've done the inventory, Nancy.
I just wanted to say, if that were me and I were doing that, one of the things my sponsor would ask me was, why do you want to, if this relationship is taking so much energy, why do you want to be in it? I mean, what are you getting? Why do you need this person in your life? I mean, don't you have enough other friends? I mean, I know that's what I would ask myself. I'm not saying you, that's what I would ask me.
Well, okay, there you go. It's that thing we read in Bill W.'s letter today, those expectations. And the thing about it is one of the things we always, always have to remember is I don't care how long we've been in this program, nobody graduates. Nobody gets totally well. We only get better. And the expectation that she could be without flaws and do this is unrealistic. It's totally unrealistic. It's an unreal expectation to put on any human being that she could make a mistake and she could do the wrong thing. I've given bad advice to people I sponsor. And
I didn't mean to, but I did it. And it's because, you know, I did it in good faith, but I nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact I did it. That I gave bad advice.
Well, I was talking about giving bad advice. I've been on the receiving end of some bad advice, and all that made me do was realize that the people that I'm dealing with are human, and they are not God, and the only one that I can 100% depend on is God. And, of course, when I was in the middle of the hurt and the anger and I just wanted to lash out, I didn't see that. It was in, you know, retrospect that I saw it. And, I mean, everything that happened to me so far in my sobriety happened for a reason. And I've learned something out of everything. And the bad advice is just that, bad advice, you know. If I chose to act on it, then, you know, it's my decision, you know. I mean, if she was my sponsor and she suggested something, just because she suggested it doesn't mean that it's the gospel. And she's an alcoholic too. And but it doesn't feel good when you're going through it.
It's very painful, because what happens is it's very hard to feel like somebody has deliberately hurt us. But I think most of the time that we're just human, and we have expectation on humans that humans can't deliver, that we're just fallible people.